In my Charlotte church many years ago, the story is told. The young pastor and a very young, broad-shouldered bear of a man sitting across from each other in the pastor's office. And the pastor was interviewing the young man for the position of building superintendent. Bureaucracy was a lot less in those days. At the end of the interview, the young pastor said to the broad-shouldered man, "You have the job." And the young man, the applicant, was named Lonnie Coggin, the most garrulous human being who ever walked the earth. Lonnie could talk bark off a tree. He was all the time talking, but for once in his life, he was speechless. In fact, he hid his face in his hands and began to sob. Young pastor awaited a tactful moment and said, Lonnie, this was not meant to be bad news. And the great man looked up with tears rolling down his big face and he said, "You don't understand. I can do a lot of stuff, but now I'm going to be allowed to do it in the house of the Lord for the Lord's people. This is the greatest day of my life." Such was the testimony of someone who knew what a privilege it was to be endowed by God with a gift and to be able to pour it out in God's service. One of the great pleasures of life is to know what gifts God has given you and to find a way to give that gift back out to God's people, back out into the world. We are created to take our gifts and to pour them out. A writer must write, a dancer must dance, musicians must make music, a businessman must be about business, an athlete must play. For why else have a talent if you don't pour it out, if you don't employ it? We are under injunction from God to give what we have been given back out to the world. We're made for it. Story is told of a French king, apocryphal, I'm sure, who suspected four of his acquaintances of being traitors. He had them arrested and sentenced them to death. And he decided he wanted to watch them all four be executed simultaneously. So he created a guillotine that could behead four people at once. On the fateful day, the four men came in, took their places on the chopping block. The king gave the signal. The executioner set the spring, and the great guillotine came thudding down, only to stop a couple of inches above their necks. The king was so impressed by this miraculous deliverance that he pardoned the four of them on the spot. And the lawyer jumped up and said, "I told you I was innocent. I'll see you in court." The banker hopped up and said, "No harm, no foul. Let's talk about that land deal next week." The merchant got up and said, "Phew, what a great day. Party at my house tonight." But the engineer said nothing. Just sat there studying the guillotine. And then said, "Sire, I think I found the problem." Whatever our gifts are, we are made to pour them out. And every gift we are given is worthless if we hoard it. A few years ago, an agronomist created a plow that could plow clay ground and make it arable soil. What could he do with that? He went to the Carter Clinic, the Jimmy Carter Center, and they commissioned him to go to Africa, gave him the resources to go to Tanzania and Ethiopia and to teach them how to use this plow. Within 5 years, the unthinkable happened. Tanzania and Ethiopia were actually not only producing enough grain to feed themselves, they were exporting it. Why? Because somebody shared their discovery. What good would it have been had he kept it unto himself? To be a complete human being, we need outlets for our inlets. If we don't have outlets for our inlets, we are warped. The Holy Land provides a wonderful geographical example of this. Two great bodies of water dominate the Holy Land, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Both of them have the same water, water that flows down out of the Hebron Mountains. And the Sea of Galilee supports a teeming aquatic life that has fed communities for millennia. But it doesn't keep the water to itself. It allows it to flow out of itself into the Jordan River with its rich silt, creating a fertile and fecund region all the way through the valley. But the water ends up in the Dead Sea, which is nothing but a repository. It receives, but it has no outlet. And as a result, it is the densest water on earth, and nothing can live there. I visited there with a Georgia Power executive who at one time was a defensive tackle for the Detroit Lions, and this 350-pound man who couldn't swim couldn't sink in the Dead Sea. It was just so dense. How many people are Dead Seas? They have inlet but no outlet for their talents. Paul says the way to approach life is to give bountifully. Because if you give bountifully, you receive bountifully. Jesus says, you want to understand the very secret of life? It's tied up in this irony. What you've been given, if you try to hoard it, you'll lose it. You'll only find its intent in giving it away. Those who deny themselves, who don't live selfishly, who pour out their talent, they will find their identity. Those who try to hoard their gift, they will lose it. Paul said, this is the point. If you give sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Now, those two scriptures would seem to be competing. One's about self-denial, one's about giving joyfully, but in fact they're making the very same point. We find our destiny, we find our identity, not in trying to hold our talent, not in trying to hold our blessings or hoard them, but to pour them out on behalf of God's people, in behalf of God's service. Someone once asked a man who spent his days in solitude at a lighthouse, "Don't you get bored out here?" And the man said, "Not since I saved my first sailor." When we see our influence, when we see the impact of our gifts upon others, we begin to understand that the key to a satisfying life is in giving what we have away. One of the stranger coincidences in modern life is the fact that two women, two very different women, are linked together in the popular mind. Lady Diana, Mother Teresa. Now, I can't imagine two women who are much more different in their approaches to life. And yet, they're linked in the popular mind because they died almost simultaneously. But what people don't know is there is also a redemptive connection between them. For during a horrible time in her life, when Lady Diana's marriage was falling apart, she was struggling with bulimia, she was wrestling with depression, her path happened to cross the mother of the gutters. And she went to Mother Teresa looking for consolation, and she found none. Mother Teresa instead said to her, "Your problem is you're too focused on yourself. You're too wrapped up in your own problems. Look at the wounded of the world. Think about your blessings. Think about your influence. Use your position to help those in need." Nobody spoke to Lady Diana that way, but Mother Teresa did. And Diana took those words to heart and began to open her eyes to the needs of those around her and to use her position to bring help to them. And in opening herself to the needs of others, she found a peace she had never known heretofore. Some of you know Mother Teresa was recently made a saint. But some have wondered because of the fact that in her letters, she admits anguishedly that she didn't always feel the presence of God. But that shouldn't shock people. When you give of yourself, when you empty yourself, when you pour yourself out for others, sometimes it empties you. Even Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You want to know why we are called to give? We're called to give because we mirror the very personality of God. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Paul said, you want to understand the nature of Christ? He thought equality with God not a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, poured himself out, taking human form, accepting our limitations, even unto death on the cross. When we give of ourselves, we simply mirror the personality of God, whose very nature is to give. A few years ago, a young man was hit by a car and killed. Tragic thing that wouldn't have caught much of the public eye, except that this young man's name was Jason Ray. And Jason Ray happened to be the mascot for the University of North Carolina basketball team. He was killed in the midst of the tournament. And in the midst of this tragedy, it was learned that Jason Ray was a very intentional organ giver. And this young man's life ended up benefiting or saving 80 lives. Some of those lives felt guilty that this young man's tragic ending had brought them benefit. But all 80 recipients were invited to a gathering to meet Jason Ray's parents. And when they saw these parents and saw the joy on their faces that their son had touched so many lives, when they experienced their graciousness and their generosity, all 80 people were amazed. Were these parents joyful that their child had been killed? No, it was the worst tragedy of their lives. But they were joyful that their son's giving attitude had made such a difference. We're about to start the process creating our budget for 2017. Not a very glamorous thing, but an important job. And my job is to say to you, give sacrificially, give generously. But what I really want to say to you is, give joyously, give with enthusiasm. Because if you give with enthusiasm and joy, you will give generously. You'll give without counting the cost. Now you think, preacher, that sounds so preacherly. It's true. On New Year's Eve, I will go into Chick-fil-A and I will buy the biggest chicken nugget tray that they make. Now, that is not cost effective. As my wife likes to say, you could buy 20 chickens for what you buy for that big nugget tray at Chick-fil-A. So why do I do it? Because on New Year's Eve, when I walk through the door, I know that the thing my daughter Clara loves more than anything else in the world are chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A. And she's going to squeal as I come through the door. Yay, Daddy, thank you for buying the nuggets. So I don't count the cost. I don't worry about the expense. I make that purchase joyously, enthusiastically, because I know that it is my privilege to give. When we give of ourselves like that with our tithes and offerings, we don't count the cost. It is a privilege to give. Lonnie Coggins served for over 30 years as a building superintendent at our Charlotte church. He enjoyed a long and fruitful retirement. And then one night, late on a Saturday night of all things, his wife called me and said, Lonnie wants to see you. I said, now? Now. I drove across town, found him on his deathbed. And he whispered these words to me. Dr. Krimmer, tell the church, thank you. Thank you for letting me serve them. It was the great delight of my life. And I said, Lonnie, I will tell them. And as I walked away, this thought came to me. These are the words of a dying body, but they're also the words of a healthy soul. A healthy soul. May that be the testimony for all of us in our lasting legacy. May we pray together. Lord, you have given to us richly. You have blessed us without measure. That you've called us to give back, to give to you without cost, but joyously, with a generosity that knows it is a privilege to give. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.